to the new magic, John.
Welcome to the Learning Value Podcast, everybody. Our next topic is going to be learning fit. We're going to talk about organizational structures and key relationships for learning professionals.
We always kind of have like a division of labor conversation before each of these podcasts, like where our energy is. And so I love that, you know, you're all about the structure and I'm all about the relationship. And I know we'll cross back and forth, but yeah, I love this negotiation that happens before each of the sessions. And I'm pretty excited to dig in because I don't know that I've ever looked at it through the lens of org structure. Okay. Really, I've looked at it through the lens of like relational connection, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say. So,
well, you know, it is kind of interesting, and when talking about something in this way, I do have some linear sequential in me, and it pops up every once in a while. It's a rare occurrence, but it's, do we start at the top down or do we start at the bottom up? And I think this is a situation where it makes sense to talk from the bottom up and talk about a learning team and the structure of a learning team and what kind of things are needed on a learning team. When it comes right down to it, there can be one person who does many jobs until it gets to be too much for one person, then you kind of branch out. So we've spent, I think the entire podcast series so far has been what learning professionals should do and how they should do it and that type of thing. So I don't think we need to spend too much time on the individual. I think if there's a person who is doing learning, they have a certain number of relationships they need to have, even if they are a team of one. And one of the key things that I think every single person who writes should have is an editor. And learning professionals specifically can't edit your own work. You should have somebody who at the very least reads through it for clarity and that type of thing. If I was going to say there's a learning team and I'm building it out, the learning feet on the street who are doing the work, very much important. The next level I would have would be the editor to make sure that it works.
Yeah. Even having, so you put it as an editor, but you know, anyone that can review your material, because I mentor someone right now who is the team of one. And in her context, just having someone else to read what she writes so that there's a quality check.
Yes.
And that there's someone that's doing like the sanity check to make sure that it reads well and easily for anyone. So the ideal people to do that are not the people that are super crammed and constantly under pressure with like heavy duty work timelines. We want to find someone who's got a little bit of capacity that could even just fill that space. So there's lots of ways to make it work, even if you're the team of one.
Yeah. And we're trying to, I mean, we're really talking about the ideal situation because we know that no engagement really lasts beyond the first, like the plan never lasts beyond the first 5 minutes in any kind of an engagement. So you need to be flexible in that type of thing. I would say that from an organizational structure standpoint, if you have a person who is an instructional designer who can do all the text and the writing and graphics and things like that, well, then pay that person more than you're paying them right now. Because to be good in all those things is an amazing accomplishment. Yes. People usually find one thing that they're really, really good at, and then they get pulled into that, and that's where they're happiest. So it's a good deal for all. But if you have one learning person who can do the writing and the editing and uploading to the learning management system, can work on the graphics and put together solid understanding of the graphics and everything else that needs to happen in order to put a class together, it really takes a village to be able to do it. One person can do it. It might take them a little bit longer. But if you have some, like, having the team to rely on, you're just going to get better results. And you know, the editor would be the first add that I would have that would be a value add to it. The rest of it from a learning team, if you've got somebody who's got tech skills and graphic skills, it becomes technology, your technology needs. So if you're going to do a lot of videos, you need to either upskill somebody to have those technology skills or bring in expertise to do technology. You're going to do an email campaign of some kind or something like that. It's really sort of adding capacity to be able to meet your objectives on the team. What else do you think needs to be on the team?
So I'd come at it from a totally different space.
Good.
Because I think you do need a ton of skills. But if you're a team of one, then your overriding skill building better be your ability to build and maintain relationships that are productive, positive, and mutually beneficial. Because if you're a team of one, then you actually have to build credibility. So that only comes through building the relationships and the trust that goes with them. And so that for me is like numero uno. And you better be that person who's highly able to communicate. So an excellent communicator, above average. Because I don't know how you're going to build relationships if you can't communicate well. And, you know, people that aren't really suited in an L&D team or need development opportunities, I would say, are, you know, those people that really get defensive easily. It's not, this is not the place. Like the L&D space, absolutely not the place, because we are often the last people that are contacted on something that is needed tomorrow. And they still want, like, the clients, your team, they still want miracles. And if we always have like a super kind of like, should have called me sooner response, doesn't really work, right? So high communication skills, ability to build relationships and maintain them positively over a long period of time and build that trust. And then I think the other piece for me is, you know, people that work in L&D, I believe, should be really good at building relationships long before they need them. So my number one pet peeve is when people build a relationship with me and I know that they're only trying to communicate with me because they need something from me. Mm-hmm. It's irritating. I don't like it. I think if you want to get to know me, get to know me. And if we get the privilege and opportunity to work together, fantastic. Like if I get the privilege to work with you, I will be delighted because I've already got a pre-existing relationship with you. And, and I've got a chance to know who a little bit about who you are so that when you show up in the room, I'm like, okay, so, you know, I know that John likes to really, like, he focuses on deliverables. He is very time sensitive. He is incredibly detail focused. I know that he is going to be generous with his assumptions. He's going to assume the positive. Like, I already know you well enough to know that there's things that you care about because I built the relationship long before I needed it. It's not at the point of need that we build relationships and then wonder, like, we shouldn't then be wondering if stakeholders don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling around us because they, in fact, know that they're, like, we're thrown together as opposed to purposefully brought together. There's a difference. And so, like, even the person that I get to mentor, my expectations of her as a person, as a professional, is that she maintains that really high focus on relationships and she finds a way to prioritize them, even though she's got a whole bunch of other things on her plate. And I expect that she's going to use her opportunities to keep building her own development and that she's looking for ways that she can influence without authority because the majority of her role is going to involve influencing without authority. She's going to have to help people see what learning and development contains. And so I feel like, you know, your ability to build credibility, trust, and be an excellent communicator all hinge around this idea of, you know, you put relationships first. If you just churn out a whole bunch of like crappy learning, like, I don't know how else to say it. Like maybe there's a more polite way to say it, but if you churn out a bunch of stuff with no connection to the subject matter experts that you work with and you have no like emotional care around it, I feel like that gets reflected in how the learners actually experience the learning. Mm-hmm. Because no one's speaking for them. You're not actually speaking for the learner. You're speaking for like just getting it done. So that makes sense. I feel like I'm being a tiny bit harsh and I don't necessarily mean to be, but it's just,
you know, I've seen courses of people who were solid course builders, mm-hmm. who had a solid grasp on the content and were able to build courses that met the objectives without any real human interaction or even mentions of humans whatsoever. And it was an engineering product. So, I mean, it was the right course for the right people and that type of thing. But even in that environment where that's for that specific audience, it was missing the human component. It was missing the learning piece. It was just, here's content, blah, and puke on a page. And then it just, who knows what happens to it after that. But it was the kind of thing where they didn't bother to take the time to actually try and engage and build the relationship with the person who's trying to lean. And I think that's key. You made a couple of comments in your thing about, that I wanted to talk about the relationship building as a characteristic of somebody who is an instructional designer or a learning strategy person or something like that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You need to, if you're going to service an organization and help to move the goals, you need to talk to the people in the organization. You need to have some kind of a relationship. You need to build some kind of human connection, and the human connection should come through in the training. You did make another comment that I love too, and that's the personal characteristic of having a thick skin. If you are building learning for other people, you need to have a thick skin. And it's a challenge and it's an evolution. And every person I've ever talked to in an interview, when I've asked the question about being edited, they all say, oh, I love to be edited. I have such a thick skin. And then they get the first document back and they're like, why is it all red? And I said, I stabbed it. It's bleeding. No, it's like, yes, it's because it's terrible. And it doesn't meet with the style guide that we gave you. And you just kind of wrote it. And there's lots of reasons why we can work with you and make it better. But you need to evolve to the point where you don't, it's not that you don't care what other people think. It's hard to describe the letting go process when you built something, you put your blood, sweat, and tears and everything like into that. And then you give it to somebody else. It's like, for me, it stopped becoming mine. When I wrote it, it was perfect for me. And then when I let it go, I have to completely let it go and say, okay, my perfect piece will remain in my memory, but now let's make it better. Let's improve it. It's not mine anymore. It becomes the teams, it becomes the organizations, it becomes the learner's course. So mm-hmm. when I sort of separate myself from my content, which was perfect the first time, as I mentioned, and then release it and somebody else can do something to it, I'm okay with it now. Because I know when I built it, it was good for me, but other people have different needs. So it's that kind of letting go piece. I joke, but you have to basically say, I'm going to write this piece and it's going to be everything I want it to be, but I'm going to put it out there and other people are going to chew on it and pick at it. And they're going to say, this isn't right. And it would be so easy to get offended, but you can't, because everybody's working towards the same goal of building this learning or executing on this project to make things better. You have to basically let go of yourself. Let go of your ego, your fear, your doubts, just let it all go.
So this is important. This is really important, because I was just sitting here thinking, like, what other roles inside of a business get as much feedback as a learning team? Like, because it's not the same as an HR team where people give you feedback maybe as they, you know, work with you. So having been an adult instructor, I would get feedback on, so I was at one point managing a team of like 22 people. And I would get feedback from the teams that we worked with directly on how my trainers, like the training specialists, were doing. I get feedback on my own personal performance every single time I went up in front of the room, which was basically 15 out of 20 days. I would get feedback from my leader in how we're doing with our KPIs. Like, I was so, at one point I was so saturated with feedback that you just like have a hard time on a daily basis just trying to absorb it all mm-hmm. and still be constantly learning and making improvements. I got feedback on how I said things, the energy level with which I said things. I got feedback from my team if I didn't, right? Like, we get a ton mm-hmm. of feedback. It's kind of like, and I was thinking about it, I'm like, the closest analogy I can come to is, you know, it's almost like we're a restaurant server. Mm-hmm. It's that immediate. I did one piece of learning, one small, and I'm talking small, 2-minute tutorial level, small piece of learning. I get 72 revisions on that content, 72 on the first pass. Well, not because they weren't corrections. They were just wording selections.
Yeah,
and wording selections.
And that's another thing that you can do is when you give stuff out for feedback is you be very, very specific. Please do not correct my wording. I want to know if the content is correct. Please pay attention to this or this when you're providing feedback. People will provide all the feedback anyways. I can't tell you how many times I've said, this has not been edited for spelling and grammar. I'm not asking you to correct my spelling and grammar. I just want to know if we have the design suite correctly represented. I always get spelling and grammar corrections back. It's just, I think it's people's nature though. I get that.
Yeah. And here's the point of it. Cause what we're talking about is relationships, you know, the organizational structure, the learning fit that we have, and in the relationships, how we're being as learning professionals makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So if I react to every piece of feedback that I get negatively, I will not last. I just won't. Mm-hmm. I have to find a way to like look for the patterns of feedback. And if you look back at some of our conversations with Dr. Richard Rush, some of that's, you know, contained within that podcast. It's a good one to go back and listen to about what's statistically valid, but we have to be able to kind of be dispassionate. So as we build relationships, when people give us feedback, to be able to listen to it openly, not become defensive, stay very open-minded, and also manage those relationships in a positive direction. So if I do, from a subject matter expert, to your point, I'm trying to build a positive, meaningful relationship with this person. They've just given me a whole bunch of feedback on grammar and spelling that I specifically asked them not to do. Do I want to crap all over them, or do I want to find a way to go, okay, so how long did it take for you to do all those edits that you just provided back to me? So that was about 2 hours. Yeah, so I can save you those 2 hours by you not doing that again, because I'm going to take care of all of that at the end. So please, I want you to take time back in your schedule and not spend the time there. So there's a way to do it that's like crapping on people, and there's a way to do it that's like moving the relationship forward. You know, somewhere in that spectrum, we have to choose to be, I believe. But everyone does it their own way. I'm not suggesting that one thing's good or bad. I'm suggesting that one's going to get you more of that relationship, you know, marbles in a jar, if you listen to Brené Brown at all, which is, you know, you're putting equity into the relationship versus taking it away. Mm-hmm.
I do like the idea of the investment in the relationship, that kind of thing. It is one of the key pieces about learning, is you get to be a bridge into different parts of the company. If it's not in all situations, but you do get to learn about different things. You get to learn about different projects and processes and that type of thing. And sometimes you get put into a box, but you know, relationships are the key to everything. When it comes right down to it, it's not just learning. It's getting along in society, working in an organization, being a part of a family, being married, you know, everything. It takes relationships to do it right. And I've always found that if you take the time to build a relationship while times are good, then if things start to go off the rails a little bit while you're in a project together or something like that, you can rely upon the relationship that you built when things are good. So once again, to go circle back to what you talked about with that personal characteristics of the learning professionals, building relationships is absolutely key. And, you know, and the structure that we started this conversation with too, it is all about relationships too, and where learning fits best, and what relationships learning needs, and how a relationship actually relates to the organization.
I think there are some key relationships though that I cannot stress enough. And I feel like I hope that as listeners listen to this, that they're really pausing for a moment to go, you know, who are the people that a learning team, even if it's a team of one, should really care about and proactively build a relationship with long before they need it. So even if you're a teeny tiny company, I feel like the learning organization, even if you're a team of one, needs to build some sort of productive relationship with your IT department. I feel like you need a productive relationship because they might need some of their IT solutions put into place, and they might need help and support to do it. I feel like your HR, whoever that is, even if it's a team of one, I would build a relationship with them. I feel like you need to have a relationship. If there's a communications marketing specialist, they probably put a lot of work into brand guidelines, into communication guidelines for the business. And if they're a team of one, they're already overloaded and they really want someone like that. That is their work, to maintain the brand. The least you can do in a learning organization is lean into what has been laid out by them. And I feel very strongly that if you've got any kind of services function inside of the business that does more generic, like holistic, broad-based learning, become friends with the other learning teams and learn what they do. Maybe they've already got a toolkit and ways of doing things. Like, businesses are organisms at the end of the day. They are living things. So I would be looking for connection points and looking for ways to actually go, how can I meaningfully learn about this organization through all of the different eyes and lenses that they put on this business? Communication, project management, change managers, IT functions, anywhere where they're going through a ton of change, how can I be there with them? And maybe I can provide some support. I don't know, but at least I can be a friend to them as they go through that change.
You know, and building relationship with those teams and finding out what's going on and that type of thing, it's going to be a benefit to the company. It's going to be a benefit to them. And it's going to be a benefit to you. I was at a large oil and gas company that you have some dealings with right now. And when I was there, I discovered that there were nine different learning programs, nine different learning departments. So I said, let's get everybody into a room once a month and let's talk of what we're working on to try and discover if we are being redundant. And certainly we were being redundant. There was one project four different people had been tasked to do by four individual VPs. And it's like, well, that's obviously three of them are wasting their money because only one of them is going to be used when they finally all come together. And it was like the VPs were playing a big game of bridge and they wanted to be the one to show their cards at the end or something. So there's that political piece that happens too. But if you actually take the time to work with these different departments and work with other learning professionals, you're going to find efficiencies. There's going to be efficiencies that pop up. Even if you're just getting together once every couple of weeks to have coffee and talk about what graphic work is being done, oh, we could probably use that in a learning program or something. So the benefits are going to pay off in spades. Card analogy day, paying off in spades.
You said something really important just then, and it's looking for those connections and duplications of work. And I feel like the learning team is in a really good position to look for duplications of work. Because someone's going to come to you and say, well, I really need you to build a learning to do X. And then you go and talk to your friends in HR. And it's like, so I got this request in. I just wanted to test it with you. This is how I'm understanding it. Oh, and this other thing is also happening inside of this team, which is what my HR friend lets me know. And, you know, it's always held within the cone of silence, but I need to be looking for those interconnections where there's multiple things that are often happening at once. And sometimes, you know, people are so busy. I just assume the positive intent here. They're so busy that they haven't had time to get aligned. So the right hand and the left hand don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we build connections and bridges. And I think it also speaks to part of the disposition or the expectation that I hope that we all have as learning professionals is that like having a very disciplined mindset around how we take on work and what requests we receive and how we vet and filter them and how we track and manage them. Because, you know, someone who isn't organized in a learning space is going to find themselves in a hurting position quickly.
You know, you say that. You say that, and you're absolutely right. And I was looking at your list of departments and thinking IT, yep, absolutely. You got that. HR, yep, that makes perfect sense. Communications and the services. I've actually worked in learning departments that have reported all those different structures. And, you know, you make it work. It's you're providing service to other departments in the most part. But there's always one underlying part. And I've always thought that the learning people don't have the best relationship with them, but they should try and do it a little bit more. And that's the legal department.
Oh, yeah.
Like as a consultant, I carry $2 million of liability insurance. And as when I was working as a learning professional in jobs and that type of thing, never talked to lawyers, never got their legal opinion on what I was writing about. I would just believe the technical writers who got it from the engineers who got it from this person. There was no consideration of legal implications or the company's brand or anything like that, too. Just one more that I think it's at the very least, you need to pay attention to it. And building a relationship with them is going to pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, I think building relationships with all your major teams and like every opportunity that I'm given to build a relationship. And it's not just because I'm a consultant and part of my gig is being able to build a network, right? Like that is part of what being a consultant involves. Work does not magically show up at my door without me investing something of myself out there. And because I put so much weight on relationships, I've only ever gotten work through relationships. Like that's 25 plus years of history, only ever gotten work through relationships. And I'm very, very grateful for every single time that has occurred. So it's been amazing. And I feel like every time a learning professional is given an opportunity to build a relationship, it's so much more important for us to take advantage of those opportunities and to really lean in, because this can be someone that can give you an entirely different perspective on a problem that maybe you've been approached with to solve for the business. And maybe you need someone to test it with. You need a thought partner. You need someone who's going to see it so differently from you. You know, I'm not strong I do not have an engineering mind. I'm very programmatic in how I think about things, very linear. But I don't think like an engineer. So sometimes I really want that perspective of someone who's going to be coming from that position. Well, that means I have to build relationships with engineers who they don't speak my language. Like I have to find a way to speak their language. What better way to learn about your audience than to build relationships inside of your audience to go, so what do you care about? And like a few of them, not just one perspective, but like a few of them, so that I have a more well-rounded way of seeing all of those different disciplines. Mm-hmm. The moral of the story is that another characteristic is build every relationship you ever possibly can as a learning professional. Every single time you're given an opportunity, it is an opportunity to build and further the trust of a relationship every time.
I also do my level best to not burn bridges. It's so easy to do in the corporate environment and learning space. It's so easy to just blow things up on your way out the door, or just let things fade into nothingness. And it never pays off. It always comes back to bite you at the end. Well, not always, but it comes back. It's come back and bit me enough in the end that I've learned the lesson. It's just not worth it. And you do your everything you can to, if you're exiting an organization, exit with class. If you're removing yourself from a contract, try and do it with style. Try and maintain the relationship, even if things are going badly, and it'll pay off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wholehearted. I have a yes and, I guess, to this. Just like as any professional, I really want people to be authentically true to themselves. So while I don't burn bridges, I also carefully manage my time, if that makes sense. Like there's absolutely people that I don't get to spend as much time with as I might like. Like I would like to spend more. And then there's people that I would not choose to spend time with. Right. And it's not a reflection of their good or bad people. It wasn't a great fit, and that's okay. I made the relationship work while I was there, and I'm really grateful for everything it taught me, and there's no regrets on my part. Doesn't mean that I want to carry them with me into the future of my life either. And so I love that part of what we're pointing to is having a sense of boundaries for ourselves and having a sense of, you know, that we can also build the relationships with the people that we think are cool. I am never, ever, ever, ever going to be a proponent of maintain relationships with people you don't like. That is goofy. We all have an authentic reaction to others. Sometimes people don't rub us the right way. It's okay. We can move on from that. I guess what I'm trying to say is authentically lean into building positive relationships and acknowledge that you're not going to win every one of them. I can remember specifically a communications person way back in the day. It was kind of like being invited to an argument, but not arguing. Like I found them very argumentative. And so I would just listen and like, you seem really hopped up that communications is way more important than learning. And this was the basis of their perspective. Communications is way more important than learning and development, and communications can do the job of learning and development. And, you know, obviously I know that's not true, but they were inviting me to an argument and I wasn't kind of picking up what they were putting down. Mm-hmm. Basically they would just speak to me and it would drop to the floor and I'd be like, you're entitled to your opinion. We don't have to agree. Like, I will absolutely listen, though. Let's have that conversation.
That's sure. Just like your opinion, man.
Like, move on. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think the final thing that I want to say about relationships and structure is with regard to the bridges and what you were just talking about. And it's you spend the time and you build the relationships. And just because you haven't burnt the bridge doesn't mean you need to cross it every day. It doesn't mean that you need to travel to places you don't want to go, but every once in a while you might need it again. So yes, build the relationships. Your learning projects will be better because.
I love it. Thanks for making space for this conversation, because it's, for me, this is like everything important about our work is about the relationships with the people we work with, the people we get to collaborate with, and the people we get to teach every day.
Well, I've enjoyed working with you and collaborating with you, and I've learned from you every time we do this. So thank you very much.
One more fun-filled time. And want to thank everyone who's listened, who shared this podcast. Please keep sharing it. We have a lot of passion about everything that we talk about. We could go on for ages. We literally stop and try and be as short as possible because we've gotten feedback from you saying that that would be great. We struggle. And we also want to get the key pieces on the page. So if you've got feedback, feel free to reach out to us at learningvalue.ca. Otherwise, go forth and have an amazing day. We're so glad you listened. Thank you.